Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
A little jazz to get you home. Used to be my girl from the OJs. Kind of getting you into the mood for unwinding, relaxing, and enjoying dinner time as we welcome in our next guest. Say hello to Allison Morris, the CEO and founder of Francy Not Fancy. Allie Mo, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
I am great. We love these Wine Wednesdays because we always learn a bunch. And you know what? The thing that I love about it is whether you feel like it's a dumb question, and I've asked a million of those in my lifetime, you always have a way of making people think, you know what? You're not the only one who thinks that, so it's not a dumb question. I mean, is that something that happens with wine a lot?
Rick, there are no dumb questions. You know, there are just dumb people, right? I'm kidding, of course. There are no... dumb questions.
I think she just called me dumb, but I'm not sure.
Not you, me, friend. look, I just have to say, I'm at the beginning of my wine journey, right? I'm a level 3 certified sommelier, but I've only been doing this for a few years, and I don't care if I do this for 25 years. There will always be a wine I haven't tasted. There will always be a region I probably haven't visited. There's nothing wrong with having questions about wine. That's what makes it so fun. Because you can have questions and explore it forever. And I think that shouldn't be something we should be ashamed of. We should be excited about it.
I think many times if we don't know very much, it can be intimidating. Whether that's walking into a store to buy a bottle, whether that's looking at a menu and saying, well, you know what, I know what a Chardonnay is. I've got a pretty good idea what a Merlot is, but boy, I don't have any idea which one I should order. You say, though, that there is one in particular on every menu you should never order. And I want you to talk a little bit more about that.
I will. It's the second cheapest wine on the list. But first, let me just say, do not be discouraged if that's how you feel. I still feel that way when I walk into a restaurant. Because when I go out to dinner with friends, especially in a big group, you know who they're giving the wine list to. You know who they're asking to order the wine.
Yeah.
And you know who they expect knows every wine on the menu. And I very often walk into restaurants and see a whole bunch of wines that I've never had before.
So yeah, right?
You are not alone in that. But let me help you make it a little easier. And yes, one of the things, do not order the second cheapest wine on the list, or avoid it if you can. I learned this in sommelier school, and here's why. Picture it, right? The lovely, young, sweet, 20-something-year-old couple on their first date. The guy is trying to impress the girl, or the girl is trying to impress the girl, whomever it is, whoever you're on a date with. And the one thing you don't want to do is look cheap or tacky. So you look at the wine list, you scroll down, and you say, well, okay, I'm not going to order the cheapest wine on the list. I'll order the second cheapest. I won't look like a cheap date. Restaurants know that people do this. They know that you don't want to look like a cheapskate on a date, out with friends, with clients, with business. So you know what they very often do? They take what is actually the cheapest wine on the list, and they mark it up a little more. So it becomes the second cheapest wine on the list. You're actually ordering the worst wine on the list, and the restaurant is making a little extra money, and that's how they often boost their margin. So unless you know that you want that second cheapest wine on the list, unless you're familiar with it, you know you like it, or it is insanely highly recommended, avoid that one. It is probably the worst value on the entire wine list.
So you're looking at it not from the standpoint that it may be a bad wine, but you're saying it may be a bad value. And there's a big difference, isn't there?
There can be. I mean, look, you probably, the cheapest thing that they're marking up a lot, you just don't want to be paying that. for that wine. So yes, you're right, it is the bad value. But you certainly don't want to be paying more for the worst wine than the second worst wine and they're flipping the order on you and tricking you. So keep an eye out there. Unless you know that it's decent, the second to last wine might actually be the worst wine on the list.
Psychology of sales is something that restaurants certainly pay very, very close attention to. And retailers have for a long time. That's why they put things on end caps as you're checking out to try to get you to buy a pack of gum that they paid 28 cents for and sell for $2.58. I mean, it's exactly the reason why they do those things. Let's look at the top of the list, though. If we just talked about the bottom of a wine list, as you look at the top, does that automatically mean that because it costs more that it is going to be a better wine? But maybe not for you, maybe not for your palate, right?
No. And listen, the most expensive wine on the list isn't usually the best one. It can be, and it also can be a great value. Just something to consider. You know, when you go into a restaurant, if you're at a more casual restaurant, you might only be looking at wines by the glass. If you're at a fancy restaurant, you know, sometimes they'll bring you that Bible of wines by the bottle, and you the thousands and thousands and thousands. What restaurants do tend to do, if people don't know this, when you're going into a restaurant and you're buying a glass of wine or a bottle of wine, there is typically a 2 to 3 times markup on that wine, right? So if you would go to the store and get a wine for $15, when you go to a restaurant, you should expect to pay $30 or $45 for it. That's typically how restaurants mark up their wines. Mm-hmm. With more expensive wines, both by the glass and by the bottle, restaurants know that if a bottle is $100 retail, for example, that they probably can't get you to pay $300 for it, but they can get you to pay $200. So a better quality, more expensive wine might have less of a markup on it and be a better value. So if you're a person who cares about value, you might find better value there. The same can happen with wines by the glass. You can only mark up a wine so much before people say, I won't pay that. So you'll often find better values. And when you get into the really expensive wines, sometimes there is no markup at all. I have walked into steakhouses and seen wines where I've actually double checked on my phone because they are selling the wine for what you could get it for online in the store or even less because they're not selling a lot of expensive wines and they want to move them. So sometimes you can find better values in the expensive wines, but don't assume because you're paying $25 a glass that that's the wine you want to drink.
Francie Not Fancy is the name of the company founded by Allison Morris. She joins us here for Wine Wednesdays once a month on KDKA. My question is this. When we're talking about being intimidated by not necessarily knowing what to order, what about the issue of sending something back? They bring something to the table, and again, this is about as intimidating as it gets for nouveau wine drinkers. You don't want to be that lady or that guy, but you also don't want to have a bad bottle of wine, and you may not have enough confidence to send it back. How do you know?
So you know what you should do, Rick? Everything you can to avoid that situation to begin with. So when you walk into a restaurant, whether you're ordering a wine by the bottle or by the glass, don't be afraid to ask questions. If you're in a fancier restaurant where they have a sommelier or a wine expert, you could often tell they wear a pin with grapes on it. Ask them to come over and have a conversation with them about maybe what you drink at home, what type of wine you'd like to try tonight, how much you want to spend. Those are all great questions. If you're in a more casual restaurant where they don't have that kind of an expert, or if you're just ordering wine by the glass, don't be afraid to ask your server or the bartender for a recommendation. They are pouring those wines all day long. If you're ordering them by the glass, it is very reasonable to ask for a sample. The bottles are open already. Yeah. They're not opening one especially for you. So say to them, could I just taste it first? They would much rather pour you a taste and have you say, no, thank you, I'd prefer to try something else, than have you order an entire bottle that you've opened and they have to send back. They can't sell that bottle again. Or have you have a glass of wine that you don't like, because that's not a great experience for you. So ask to try, or ask the bartender even, hey, what is popular here? What do you sell the most of? What would you drink if you were ordering a glass of wine? Some of those questions can help steer you in the right direction so that you don't have to send things back, because that is so uncomfortable, whether it's an overcooked steak or a bottle of wine that's gone bad. You just don't want to do that. And the unfortunate thing is, if you order a bottle of wine and you just don't like it, you really shouldn't send it back. The really only way you should send it back, it's like the same rule with food, is if something is wrong with it. If it tastes like it wasn't stored properly, if it tastes off, most restaurants will accommodate you if you're unhappy because they want you to be a happy customer, but it's generally considered poor form to order blindly and then complain that you don't like what you picked.
It is exactly why we love to have her on, because we get into a depth of knowledge and understanding that a lot of us don't have, but sometimes we're afraid to ask those questions. And so, Allison, it's always good to have you on the program talking about these issues, and we look forward to our next go-around coming up in April for another Wine Wednesday.
I look forward to it, and may your restaurant wine experiences be as stress-free as possible.
As stress-free as possible. Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Absolutely. Allison, thank you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.